You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Matthew 13:24-43. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'"
Mateo 13:24-43. Le refirió otra parábola diciendo: "El reino de los cielos es semejante a un hombre que sembró buena semilla en su campo. Pero mientras dormían los hombres, vino su enemigo y sembró cizaña entre el trigo y se fue. Y cuando salió la hierba y dio fruto, entonces apareció también la cizaña. Vinieron entonces los siervos del padre de familia y le dijeron: 'Señor, ¿no sembraste buena semilla en tu campo? ¿De dónde pues tiene cizaña?' Él les dijo: 'Un enemigo ha hecho esto.' Y los siervos le dijeron: '¿Quieres pues que vayamos y la arranquemos?' Él les dijo: 'No, no sea que al arrancar la cizaña arranquéis también con ella el trigo. Dejad crecer juntamente lo uno y el otro hasta la siega. Y al tiempo de la siega yo diré a los segadores: recoged primero la cizaña y atadla en manojos para quemarla, pero recoged el trigo en mi granero.' Otra parábola le refirió diciendo: 'El reino de los cielos es semejante al grano de mostaza, que un hombre tomó y sembró en su campo, el cual es a la verdad la más pequeña de todas las semillas, pero cuando ha crecido es la mayor de las hortalizas, y se hace árbol de tal manera que vienen las aves del cielo y hacen nidos en sus ramas.' Otra parábola les dijo: 'El reino de los cielos es semejante a la levadura que tomó una mujer y escondió en 3 medidas de harina, hasta que todo fue leudado. Todo esto habló Jesús por parábolas a la gente, y sin parábolas no les hablaba, para que se cumpliese lo dicho por el profeta cuando dijo: abriré parábolas mi boca, declararé cosas escondidas desde la fundación del mundo.' Entonces, despedida la gente, entró Jesús en la casa, y acercándose a él, sus discípulos le dijeron: 'Explícanos la parábola de la cizaña del campo.' Respondiendo, él les dijo: El que siembra la buena semilla es el Hijo del Hombre. El campo es el mundo. La buena semilla son los hijos del reino y la cizaña son los hijos del malo. El enemigo que la sembró es el diablo. La siega es el fin del siglo y los segadores son los ángeles. De manera que como se arranca la cizaña y se quema en el fuego, así será el fin de este siglo. Enviará el Hijo del Hombre a sus ángeles y recogerán de su reino a todos los que sirven de tropiezo y a los que hacen iniquidad. Y los echará en el horno de fuego y allí será el lloro y el crujir de dientes. Entonces los justos resplandecerán como el sol en el reino de su Padre. El que tiene oídos para oír, oiga. This is the word of God.
Good morning. How are you today? Good. Enjoying the good weather, right? Okay, today we are going to consider in Matthew 13, verses 24 to 43, and the topic of my sermon this morning is the growth of the kingdom. We are going to consider three parables that Jesus spoke, and these parables has to do with the growth of the kingdom of God. But first, I would like to start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful opportunity and this beautiful day that you have given to us and the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to praise your name, to sing these songs, and also for the privilege to hear, to listen to your word. And please, our desire is that you can talk to us in this morning and that you open our eyes as we just sang, and that you open our hearts to receive your word, and that the Holy Spirit can clarify your word this morning, and that we can understand what you are teaching us in this passage, and that we can live it out during the week. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the common struggles of the human being is impatience, isn't it? We want to see fast results. If we start going to the gym, we want to see big muscles on the second day. If we start a diet to lose weight, we want to see ourselves slim in a week. Amen. I receive it. If we want to make a habit of praying, we try to pray for an hour the first day, only to end up asleep in our knees. We want to see progress and results very quickly. And we forget that achieving certain things takes time and discipline. That is why one of the most common tips to create a habit, whatever it may be, is to start small, being persistent and disciplined. For example, if you want to get into the habit of reading the Bible every day, start by reading a chapter a day. If you want to make the habit of praying, start by praying 5 minutes a day, but be consistent. There are things in life that require time. Human life itself is a constant growth or development. From birth to death is a constant growth. The little baby that is born then grows into an adult who can fend for himself. And we find something similar in today's passage. The kingdom of heaven, though it may have a small and insignificant beginning, grows into something great. In other words, what we are going to see today in these verses is about the growth of the kingdom of God. It starts really little, but then grows into something big. Last week, we were looking at the parable of the sower. And something we saw in that parable was about the different responses of people to the message of the kingdom, which is the gospel. Each of the ground represented the condition of the heart of those people and the different responses to the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is, in a sense, present in this age, in this time, and is offered to all. Yet not all receive the kingdom message. But those who receive it and believe it bear fruit for God. And today we are going to see three parables that have to do with the growth of the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. All these parables have to do with the growth of the kingdom of God. Now, I would like to make a little change this morning. I would like to start with the parables of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven first. And then we are going to consider the parable of the wheat. Because Jesus, after he taught this parable, he gave the interpretation of the parable. These first two parables, that of the mustard seed and the leaven, have the same teaching. And the teaching is this. The kingdom of heaven begins small and insignificant, but it grows to become something great or something big. The kingdom of God begins small and insignificant, like a mustard seed, or like the leaven that is in the dough. But it grows to become something great. So let's read the parable of the mustard seed again. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the earth come and make nests in its branches." This story was very familiar to the people who were listening to Jesus' parable. Palestine was agricultural land, and many of the people that lived in Palestine were engaged in agriculture. The mustard seed was generally used as a proverbial figure to talk about something really, really small. The mustard seed is not the smallest of all the seeds, but due to its smallness, it was a figure that represented something very small. In this parable, the mustard seed represents the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Like the mustard seed, the kingdom of God starts small and tiny, insignificant to human eyes, but grows into something big, a leafy tree. It is important to remember how the Jews of that time looked forward to the coming of the kingdom of God. For them, the kingdom of God would arrive with power, with glory, with great cataclysms and cosmic events. They expected a victorious king, a military leader, who would destroy his enemies and establish the kingdom Israel longed for. They expected a king like David, who would sit on a physical throne and reign eternally, thus fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament. However, the kingdom of God began small, like a mustard seed. It didn't look glorious at first. It wasn't attractive. The king that Israel expected was born in a small village in Israel, Bethlehem. He didn't even have a dignified birth. He was born among food and animal waste. He had a poor life. His appearance was humble. He began his ministry with only 12 disciples who were not people learned in the law. This king was rejected by the religious leaders of his people. The same crowd that followed him later would ask for his death. He was crucified as a criminal alongside two thieves. But on the third day, he rose from the dead, commissioned his disciples to take the gospel to all nations, and ascended to the right of God the Father. From then on, those 12 poorly educated disciples started a movement that began with 120 people in an upper room and would later grow to thousands on the day of Pentecost. The gospel spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the entire Roman Empire. And today, 2,000 years later, we are here in America seeing the fruits of the growth of that little seed that was planted with the arrival of King Jesus. However, although the kingdom of heaven has been growing and advancing in this world, we still don't see that the kingdom is fully established. There is still sin in the world. There is suffering. There is violence. There is catastrophes. There is death. We don't see yet that that all things are subject to the lordship of Christ. Although the seed of the kingdom has grown, it still seems insignificant and small in the eyes of the world. But when Jesus Christ returns for the second time, he will bring the consummation of the kingdom. Jesus will defeat evil and death once and for all. There will be no more sin or corruption, but peace and justice will reign for all eternity. That kingdom that began as a small mustard seed will become a giant tree full of fruit. We see this image in other parts of the scriptures. For example, in the Old Testament, Daniel, in Daniel 7, 13 and 14, says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is talking about the kingdom of Christ when he comes again for the second time. Similarly, in 1 Corinthians 15, 23-26 says, But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The kingdom of heaven, which in the present exists as something small and insignificant, will be in the future when Jesus returns a great kingdom that will fill the whole earth. And we find the same truth in the parable of the leaven. The image in this parable is of a woman who is baking bread. This woman puts a little leaven in the flour dough, and although at first the dough seems to undergo no change, over time the leaven ferments the whole dough until it is large. Here we see the same principle as in the previous parable. The kingdom of God has a small and imperceptible beginning, but it grows until it is all-pervading. And listening to all this, you may be wondering, and what does all this have to do with me? If you're a Christian, it has a lot to do. We, as the church, are the members of this kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of heaven through Christ. And although it sometimes seems that the kingdom of darkness advances faster and gains more ground than the kingdom of God, the truth is that the day will come when the kingdom of God will cover the entire earth, and we will all reign with Christ forever. The present state of affairs will not always be so. Sometimes we can look around us and think that there is no hope for this world. We live in a world where there is injustice, where there is violence, where we suffer from diseases, where natural disasters occur, where we must die one day. And considering all these things, we might think that in the end, evil will defeat good. But no, in Christ we are more than conquerors. The kingdom of God is present in this world, and it is growing. And one day in the future, this kingdom will cover everything that exists, and everything will be subject to Christ. We will reign with Christ forever. Now, what should be our responsibility as we await the arrival of the consummation of the kingdom of God? First, we must pray as Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 7, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We must pray that the kingdom of God come to us. And while we pray that God will bring his kingdom, we must work for his kingdom to reach people's hearts through the preaching of the gospel. As in the parable of the sower, we are all sowers. We are called to bring the message of the kingdom, the gospel, to all people, to our friends, to our family, co-workers, neighbors, etc. We must spread the seed of the gospel while trusting in the power of God to germinate that seed. And we must also live with hope, knowing that God will bring his kingdom with power and glory, and that we will reign with him forever. That should give us hope in this life. Not everything ends here. So soon, all this will pass, and we will reign forever with the Lord. So now, we have already seen the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven. And now let's consider the parable of the wheat. Let's read this parable again. Verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. Let us gather in the weeds. You root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" This parable also has to do with the growth of the kingdom of God. Although the difference with the previous ones that we have seen is that it adds more details that give us an idea of the present state of the kingdom of God. Like the parable of the sower, Jesus interpreted this story. In this story, Jesus tells us about a man who sowed a seed of wheat in his field. But while he and his servants slept, an enemy came and planted weeds next to the wheat. This was considered a deliberate act of revenge. When the plants began to grow, this man's servants realized that there was a lot of weeds along with the wheat, and they asked their master what they should do. The owner of the field ordered them to let both the wheat and the weeds grow until the day of harvest, and on that day the reapers would pull up the weeds first, separate them from the wheat, and bind them into sheaves to put into the fire. Jesus himself gives the interpretation of this parable in verses 36 to 43. The one who plants the good seed is the Son of Man, that is Jesus himself. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The wheat are the children of the evil one. The enemy that sowed it is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, or the end of this age. and the reapers will be the angels. At the end of the world, when Christ returns, there will be a separation of the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. The angels will take the children of the evil one, and they will be thrown into the fiery furnace, that is hell. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. As I mentioned earlier, this parable has to do with the growth of the kingdom of God in this present age. Between the first and the second coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God grows in the world. However, in parallel, the kingdom of Satan cohabits in the world. It is important to note that the field is not the church, as many have believed in church history. But as Jesus himself pointed out, the field is the world. In the world, both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness cohabit. Both will exist and grow together until the day of harvest, that is, the end of the world. At the end of the world, on the day of final judgment, God will make a separation between the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. As we saw in my last sermon 2 weeks ago, in this world there are only two groups in which everyone is: the children of God and the children of the devil, the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. At first, it may seem that there are not many differences between the two groups. Both live in the same world, experience similar things, and even sometimes they are in the same church. But although the fruits of both groups is different, on the final day, on the final judgment, God will make a distinction between the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. We will reign forever with Christ, while the children of the evil one will be thrown into hell. This agrees with what we see later in the Gospel of Matthew. For example, in chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, we're not going to read it. Everything is very long, but verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." In the final judgment, God will separate the kingdom, the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. The kingdom of God is now present in the world. However, it must coexist and grow together with the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is present and growing, but we still must suffer opposition from the kingdom of Satan. We preach the gospel, the kingdom message, but Satan also works to make people reject the gospel. We could say that at the present, we are in a struggle of kingdoms. But the day will come when Jesus will deal a final blow to the kingdom of Satan, and his kingdom will prevail for all eternity. There are several truths in this parable that I would like to list. First, there are two mutually growing kingdoms in the world: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Second, there are two groups of people in the world: the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. Third, one day this world will come to an end. There will be a final judgment. Four, in this final judgment, there will be a separation between the children of the kingdom and the children of the evil one. And five, the children of the kingdom will be exalted in the kingdom of God, but the children of the evil one will be thrown into eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And I would like to end this morning by summarizing what we have learned in this passage. The kingdom of heaven has a small and insignificant beginning, as we already said. But it grows until it fills everything. In the present, the kingdom of God may seem small like a mustard seed or like the leaven that is put in the dough. But it is growing, and one day the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. In the same way, while the kingdom of God grows and advances in this world, the kingdom of darkness also grows and opposes the kingdom of God. But there will come a day when God will separate one group from another group, condemn the children of the evil one to hell, and will exalt the children of the kingdom so that they may reign eternally with Christ. Considering this truth, what should we do? We must pray for the kingdom of God to come, as Jesus taught us. We also must preach the gospel of the kingdom so that more people come to submit to the lordship of Christ. And we must live with hope that despite all the evil we see in this world, God will redeem all things and we will reign with Christ. And if there is someone here who does not know Jesus yet, let me tell you that you are in the kingdom of darkness. And if you don't come to Jesus to acknowledge him as your Savior and King, one day you will have to face him, but as your judge. Repent and believe in Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for your word. And please allow us to apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.